ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Mark, and we're in chapter 2. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. If you look at Paul, the Apostle, in chapter 3 of Philippians, you'll find that he says, I counted everything that was a positive in my life as if it was refuse, as if it was dung. He says, that stuff was a loss to me because it kept getting in the way of my aspiration to know Him in my experience every day. You see, you and I, we're so full sometimes, we're not really hungering. But hopefully somewhere in your backstory, you have come to grips with the fact that you are not whole, that you have been a great sinner, and that you needed forgiveness, because that's the good news. The good news is forgiveness is available. And Jesus is on site, and He's bringing near everyone who could get their minds around that. He says, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. And the word for sick is the idea of without strength. When you realize you have no ability to please God, that begins to get you to the place where you're like, you know what? I can hear Jesus. I can hear Him say, come to me. You are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. He says, I didn't come to call the righteous, but I come to call the sinners to repentance. So what is it that He sought? Well, He sought sinners. Do you know you're a sinner today? Do you know that? Did you come to terms with the fact that you're a sinner? That you needed a Savior? That your sin was going to be something you're going to have to answer for big time one day? Well, as you see Levi's experience, you begin to realize it doesn't matter where you are on the socioeconomic status, whether you're disenfranchised, whether you're wealthy and alone, or whether you're a great sinner like many that came into His house. If you draw near to Jesus, He's got some words to teach. It says in verse 13. That He taught them. It says that He preached in verse 2. This is what He does. Why? Because it's when you begin to understand the doctrine. The doctrine of our salvation is we're sinners, we are alienated from God. Now the word for sin is very interesting. We study in theology, hamartiology. And it has the idea of having no lot, no place. We hear sin being defined as missing the mark. Really, it's not having a mark at all. You have no place to stand because of sin. You and I are without any inheritance. We are without any hope because of our sin. Now, for you and me, these are foreign words. These are words we should parse because, frankly, we think we got it going on in America because we look good, smell good, act good. We got stuff. We got more stuff. And, boy, we quite getting stuff with being blessed. But sometimes the stuff can get in the way. We need to recognize that from an eternal perspective, we have no place. We have no claim. But Jesus makes it possible for us to have what? An inheritance reserved for us in the heavens. Undefiled, incorruptible, and that fades not away. We can't have that with our sin. We're defiled and disqualified. But because of Christ and the remission that He brings, we have an amazing future. Now let us move on because the next section tells us not just what He taught and what He sought, which He taught remission of sins and forgiveness of sins. He sought sinners. But in verse 18 it says, and the disciples of John and the Pharisees used to fast. And they come and say unto Him, why do the disciples of John and the Pharisees fast? But your disciples fast not. And Jesus said this, can the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then they shall fast in those days. And I'm going to stop here because the next two verses do comment on this further, but I want you to see what He brought. What He taught, what He sought, now what He brought. Well, it's something of a pulling back of the veil. What is it that Jesus came? He came preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? They had not thought of that. They had thought of the kingdom of Israel. And they would say, yeah, that's the kingdom of God, but it's Israel. No, they needed to get past that. He brought them illumination. He brought them clarity. He brought them light. When He said, can the children of the bride chamber fast when the bridegroom is with them? He's telling them something very profound. something they had not really considered before. He is the bridegroom. Now, Israel is not the bride. We are the bride. He's beginning to make straight paths. And he's saying that these who are in the room with me, and we who are eating and drinking and enjoying the day and not fasting, he says, how can they fast when the bridegroom is with them? And he's letting them know that there's something very profound about this kingdom. John the Baptist is the one who said it this way, and deflecting everybody looking at him. This is in John chapter 3, verse 29. It says, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom which standeth and heareth him rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This, my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. Now you have to understand what John saw. John saw that he was, of course, not the Messiah. When they would ask him about that, are you the Messiah? No one's coming after me, whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose. He says, it's not me. And then he points to Jesus and he says, behold the Lamb of God. And then a couple of chapters later in John's Gospel, he says that I am basically the friend of the bridegroom. You know what the friend of the bridegroom is? That's the best man. He's saying, here's the bridegroom. I'm the best man. And I'm so happy he showed up. The bride. Who's the bride? The bride is the church, we're told over and again, aren't we? Let me show you that. Revelation chapter 19, verse 7 says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor unto King Jesus, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. You see, it doesn't come till the end. You say, man, you're losing me. I hope not. I hope you understand who you are and where you are in the continuum of things. They certainly did not. Jesus was making a clarity of something that was kind of in shadows before. But now what we have is the bride is the church. Jesus is calling out a bride for himself right now. What does Israel, what part do they play? Well, John said he's the best man. And what are his disciples called back in chapter 2? It says they're the sons of the bride chamber. These guys are like a bunch of guys getting together, excited about the one guy going to get married. Ryan and Sammy got to go to a wedding yesterday, said it was really cool. Because they did it at 10:30, and I found this interesting because Sammy's communicating to me something she really enjoys. I thought, you'd say, oh, so cute, and the vows were pretty, and the tears were running, and it was really nostalgic. She said, no, they had a barista, and they had donuts and muffins and coffee over there. And we're like, wow, that sounds really good. I'm thinking, what happened to the wedding? But they were having a party. You can't have fasting when the bridegroom's there. This was a pulling back of the veil. He's the bridegroom. He's got a greater plan than Israel. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12 says that the angels and the prophets all desired to look into the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. And it was revealed unto them in 1 Peter 1:12. It says, unto them it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us. They did minister, we who are the church, which are now reported unto you by them which have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. You see, the prophet says, what's all this suffering and glory that should follow? They couldn't see it because there was like a mountain range. They could see one top of a mountain and another top, and it all looked like it was all jumbled up together. He says, no, there's a big valley here. Jesus came to die for the remission of sins. Then what? Then he ascended to heaven, went into a far country, as he says in Mark chapter 14. He says, then he went on a far journey, but he's coming again. And what's he coming? He's coming for his bride. Do you remember the 10 virgins? 5 were foolish and 5 were wise. What did virgins do? The Bible says that when the bridegroom cometh, they go out and it's like these 5 foolish didn't have enough oil. And these 5 wise virgins had just enough, couldn't share. The bridegroom came, the 5 foolish went to get, and they come back and the bride chamber was closed and they couldn't get in. They were left out. These 5 went in. Who were these 5 and who were these 5? Well, the 5 wise virgins were representative of Israelites who are supposed to be doing everything they can to help the rest of the world find their way to God. You see, the rest of the world would make up the bride of Christ. The 5 foolish, they really wouldn't buy into it. The wedding garment, the one guy with no wedding garment on. And how'd you come into this wedding with no wedding garment on? Cast him out. Why? Because he didn't get in line with the program. What was the call to repentance to for the Israelites? The call was to change their mind. from them being the center of all things, from it being a political kingdom. It was the kingdom of God, and it was the gospel of the kingdom of God they needed to embrace. And this is why it's significant in verse 12 in chapter 2, where it says, we never saw it before. We never saw it. He came to forgive sins. We never saw it like that. So Jesus says, can the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? He's the bridegroom. He's seeking out a bride. Revelation 19, verse 9 says this. He saith, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. He saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Revelation 21, verse 2 says, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Verse 9 says, and there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. So there's a wife to be had, but she's not gotten yet. This is a pulling back of the veil. So we see so far what he taught. We see what he sought. What did he teach? He taught forgiveness. What did he seek? He sought the lost, the sinners. And now we see what he brought. He brought clarity. He brought light. He brought the truth that God was more all-inclusive than they ever imagined. They used to pray a prayer as Jews. God, I thank you that I'm not a Gentile. This is a prayer they would pray. I thank you I'm not a Gentile. And God says, no, you don't understand. You need to repent. You need to get rid of that nonsense in your head. And you need to change your mind. When he forgives sins, and when he sat with sinners, and when he talked about a bride chamber, he further explains it in verse 21. He says, no man seweth a piece of new cloth on an old garment, else the new piece that filleth it up taketh away from the old, and the rent is made worse. Interestingly enough, if you've ever had a good pair of jeans that you really like, and you understand that some things are very comfortable, you know, you hate to get rid of that pair of pants or those shoes, you know. You hate that. And what he's saying there's a new and an old. Okay, he's starting to make some distinctions. We talk about the Old Testament and the New Testament. Well, the Old Testament was ratified by the blood of animals, remember. Moses wrote the law, he ordained the priests, and he got Aaron all in his proper garments. Then he took a hyssop bush and he dipped it in some animal's blood and water, and he began to sprinkle it on everybody. And he was saying, now this is how we're ratifying this, because this was all the first stage of things, the first clarity and light I'm bringing. It's going to be shadowy. And those priests are going to be men to be wondered at. And there's going to be a lot to be gleaned and learned. But it will not be until that new comes, which is the new covenant, and it's ratified in Christ's blood. Jesus said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Take, drink ye all of it. This is the new testament in my blood. He ratified the new with his blood. So when he's talking about new and old in verses 21 and 22, he says in verse 21, no man seweth a piece of new cloth on an old garment, else the new piece that filled it up taketh away from the old, and the rent is made worse. Now hone in on those last few words where it says the rent is made worse. One thing about a nice pair of jeans is after a while they do get a rent in them, don't they? You know, and if you just leave it alone, you might get a little more mileage out of those jeans. For my illustration, you understand that if you have something you want to last longer, get more mileage out of, you maybe not touch it. Don't mess with it sometimes. Well, so it is with the Old Testament. It had been worn and worn and worn and worn and worn. There has been 400 years of silence before Jesus and John show up. 400 years where no prophecy had been given, no prophet had risen. There had been some remarkable things, of course, in the Maccabean age, but not really any new word. Here's the new. 400 years of quietude. Suddenly, Jesus shows up, John shows up, and they're telling about what? The remission of sins.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.